How good of a listener are you? I know you guys are like, huh? What? What? What do you say? I think most of us would probably say we're better talkers than listeners. May I suggest to you that listening is a very important part of prayer, because prayer is a conversation between us and God, right? So how good of a listener are we when it comes to God? And why should we listen? Because God is still speaking. God is still speaking. And some of you are like, really? The answer is yes. Lord, we present ourselves before you. And we would say to you this morning, I'm recording scripture. Speak to us, we're listening. We pray it in your name. Amen. So God talks to us in a number of ways. I'm just going to go through a whole bunch of things. Got some ideas from Adam Hamilton. Good news, I finished a book yesterday and I finished a book the day before, so I can order more books on Amazon now. Okay. The stack is going down, so I had to get the other stack going up. Good stuff. I can't explain it. I just love reading. So God speaks to us through nature. Now some of you are like, oh, you're not one of those tree huggers, are you? I don't hug trees, but I do so appreciate nature. And just as I was writing this morning, some of my little friends were flying up to the bird feeders in my backyard. I suppose it's like you're officially an old guy when you get thrilled by birds coming by. I mean, when I was a kid, it was just like, oh, it's a bird, whatever. It's like now, it's like, I get desperate. I got to go to Jewel and get more bird food for these guys. You know, they're going to starve. They're counting on me, okay? But birds, they always remind me, don't worry. I think of the snow. And I know that snow isn't something that blesses us all the time. Some of us hate it, but it's that reminder of the grace of God, that our sins shall be white as snow. There's so many things that speak to us through nature. The trees, I always look at the trees, they're always out there. It's like, praise God, they got their arms up. In the middle of winter, last winter I was just looking at something that I'd written down. We had the coldest high that we'd ever had. On that day, trees are just out there, thank you, Jesus. Okay, they're still praising God. And then spring comes around. If you stood out there all winter, you wouldn't spring to life in March, would you? But the trees do, the grass does. It's amazing, we take it for granted. But there's so much that God could speak to us just through nature. How about the stars? The stars just put things in perspective. We've got so many people in our culture today who are into themselves and into drama. I remember years ago, this magazine comes out, Self. Like, I don't know, like, I'd be embarrassed to even pick one up, let alone buy a copy. Hi, I'm buying Self. I'm all about me, in case you didn't know it, okay? But man, you look at the stars, and there's hundreds of billions of stars in the Milky Way. I don't know who's counted them, but that's what I read. And then they say there's hundreds of billions of galaxies. And then we're just next to a small star that's called the sun, and we're on this puny planet compared to the sun, and there's 7 billion of us. It's pretty silly when people walk around, it's all about me. It's all about me. No, it's not. It's all about him. But God can speak to us through nature if we just kind of slow down, maybe take the ear pods out, and pay attention. I want to share a passage of scripture from the Psalms. Psalm 19 really speaks to us about how God speaks through nature. The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day they continue to speak. Night after night they make him known. They speak without a sound or word. Their voice is never heard. Yet their message has gone throughout the earth, and their words to all the world. I mean, folks, I just don't understand when people say, I see no reasonable evidence of a creator. It's like, open your eyes. Just take a look at the sky. Another area that God talks to us, the arts. I think originally art was intended to give us a glimpse of heaven. You ever see a photograph and you're just like, I got to get a copy of that. I mean, there's stuff by Ansel Adams that I love. Black and white. He was the master. But there's other photography. There's paintings. Long before there's photography, people painted. And if you go to old museums or museums where they have old artwork, so much of it was to glorify God with intentionality. Sometimes people do it without even trying. But beauty. And what is beauty? And why do we like it? Because God created us to be able to appreciate beauty. And I'm always looking for an example. I'm always looking for the gospel when I go to a movie or read a book. So Mike Shramick isn't here this morning, so I can tell any story I want. But it's true. This one's true. So way back when, Mike and I were two wild and crazy single guys. No, it was 1998, and this one night, we were both single. We went out, and we saw a movie, Armageddon. How many of you remember Armageddon? Okay, this is a spoiler alert, okay? If you haven't seen it in 22 years, I'm sorry, okay? I'm going to give something away about the movie. After the movie, I said, Mike, did you see the Christ figure in the movie? He's like, what? What are you talking about? I said, Bruce Willis. He goes, Bruce Willis? He's a grumpy old guy in the movie. I said, did you miss the part, here's the spoiler, where he decides to stay on the asteroid and detonate and die so that he can save the world. He laid down his life to save everyone in the world. Mike's like, huh. Next morning at church, I see him with a cup of coffee. Have you seen Armageddon? You notice the Christ figure in that movie? I'm like, hmm. He was paying attention. So, Amber, you've seen that movie, haven't you? I'll bet you liked that movie. I'll bet you cried during that movie. Yeah. I mean, you've got his daughter saying goodbye to him with her hand on the screen with her real-life dad singing Aerosmith, okay? Right? I mean, that's the scene from the movie. Now, why do we cry? Because we identify with it. Because it's telling us about the gospel. It's telling us about how much we love and how much we love someone who sacrifices. And if people in the world could just understand that that's what Jesus did. And here's the only difference between what Bruce Willis did in the movie and what Jesus did, is Jesus wasn't going to die. Bruce Willis, if he didn't do that, he was going to die anyway. Somebody had to do it. But Jesus wasn't going to die. He just did it because he loved us. And here it is, 2,000 years later, do you think that most people that are in line at Jewel Osco next to you are thinking, it's amazing what Jesus did for me? I think people don't get it. And that's why he's got us here to help people to understand it. Not to preach it, but to see it. To see God speaking through the arts, through movies, through books. How about life experiences? God speaks to us through our life experiences. He speaks to us through people. God puts people in our lives. Now, some people, he speaks to us about how we need to grow in patience. Right? There's just some people that, well, God sent this person along as like spiritual sandpaper, apparently. They're gonna rub off my rough edges. And you know what? Thank God for those people. You don't control all the people that are in your world. People can also bless us. But think about all the life experiences. How about when your first child was born? How about the first time you really dealt with death? They're like earthquakes in our lives. How about marriage? Your marriage? One of your children getting married? How about a divorce? That's another earthquake, a seismic shift. Things aren't quite the same afterwards for most of us. You know, I think of my encounter with this person I had never met before. Within 30 seconds of meeting Marcia, she had a hold of the sleeve of my jacket in a way that I will always remember. The next day when I saw her, I think she was actually maybe a little embarrassed. And then when I talked to her the next day, she didn't even seem to remember it. But I let her know what an impression it had made on me. We make an impression on other people. God speaks through you to other people as well. Sometimes in the least expected ways. I talked about it Tuesday morning at Bible study. In the book of Acts, we're looking at some of the different gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to us. And one of them is to prophesy, which is not prophecy, it's to prophesy, which simply means you would speak the words that Jesus would say if he were there right then. It's not necessarily foretelling the future in any way, shape, or form. Those two things get confused. But so some church, this is not in my notes, but I'm just going to say it anyway. Sometimes at church, people will stand up and say, "Thus saith the Lord." I'm not sure why they use King James or Shakespeare to communicate this, but they'll say, "Thus saith the Lord," and then they'll say something. That can be very valid. But it can also be just as valid that you prophesy to your friends and family and to complete strangers without even realizing it. You might text a word of encouragement, and you're saying to that person exactly what Jesus would say if Jesus was texting someone. Wouldn't that be cool to get a text from Jesus? I think it'd be really cool. I mean, if you're listening and you want to do that, don't anybody text me right now, okay? It'd be a nice trick. What do you think God's trying to tell you? Do you think God gave you two ears and one mouth, put you on earth, and just like, I don't have anything to say to you? God wants to talk to you. Remember that part? Two ears, one mouth. And you guys are like, "You're the preacher. What are you talking about? You're talking all the time." How about your conscience? How many of us could use like a tune-up on our conscience? Scripture has a number of things to say about our conscience, but God can talk to us through our conscience. Like sometimes I'll think back to when I was a kid and the first time you violated your conscience. And it wasn't mom and dad told you not to do it, but you did something and you just knew inherently it was wrong. And it stung. It hurt. For most of us that are around my age, or maybe even 40 years younger, we've learned ways to kind of quiet that conscience. Like, let's turn this thing off for a little while. The Apostle Paul says that there are certain people that they shut down their conscience, and you know what it did? It made a shipwreck out of their spiritual life. What's a shipwreck? Well, it's when a boat that's supposed to be traveling through water ends up on the rocks, and it's not going anywhere. And so when we shut down our conscience, our spiritual life goes nowhere. I'm not saying the person isn't a Christian, not saying they're not going to heaven, but you're not getting anywhere. So God speaks to us through our conscience. We need to listen to it. You know, one of the things that we need to do is we need to call sin, sin in our own lives. Not so much in other people's lives, but acknowledge it, own it, and say, "God, I'm guilty, as charged." Now, he's already died for that sin, and we need to receive that forgiveness. But I think there's a lot of people that are in the church that still deal with a lot of guilt. And that's ironic. Then there's super religious folks. And Paul talked to Timothy about this in chapter 4. Because there are certain people that said, "You can't do this and you can't do that. You should not eat those things and you shouldn't marry." Well, it's interesting because then Paul goes on to say, well, all these things that God has given us, they're all sanctified if we just say thank you for them. But see, sometimes super religious people come up with all these rules. Are they in the Bible? No, because they're super religious. Once you got to start adding stuff on to what's in the Bible, beware. I mean, some of the don'ts that churches have come up with over the years, bowling, rodeos, what? It's just, like, what are people thinking? But they're super spiritual. They're super religious. Anything, if we simply say thank you, we receive it with gratitude. So here's a wonderful way that God wants to talk to us, by his Holy Spirit. Jesus said that when his Spirit came, the Holy Spirit would remind us of the things that Jesus has said. So how good are you at memorizing Scripture? And some of you are like, "I used to be really good when I was in Awana. 47 years ago, I was really pretty good at memorizing Scripture verses." Now, how well did you memorize them? Very good, for about 4 minutes, so that I could get the, you know, prize or whatever it is. I don't remember what the verse is anymore. Take the pressure off yourself. God's not going to have this Scripture B when we get to heaven and see if we can quote everything. But you know what we really need is when we really need to know the verse, that someone would bring it to mind. Now, wouldn't that be a cool app? Alexa, what's that verse that I need right now? And she'd tell you. That's what Jesus said the Holy Spirit would do. And that's what he does. How about it? You know, there's just sometimes some Bible story comes to mind. Well, why did that happen? The Holy Spirit's like, it's my job. That's what I do. Pay attention. The Holy Spirit wants to remind us of everything that Jesus taught and did. I love the word paraclete. Talked on it when we went through the Gospel of John last year. It's such a unique word, and it's translated so many different ways. But the fact that the word encouragement comes from paraclete, which means Barnabas, who was Joseph. They changed his name to Barnabas because it meant son of encouragement. They were saying he's a paraclete. He's the kind of person that just comes alongside you to encourage you, not to lecture you. How many of you like that when you're having a really difficult day and someone says, I have a great lecture for you? No. We just want someone to be there, to just show up. An advocate. How would you like to go to court being accused of something? Maybe you didn't even do it. And just say, I'm going to be my own attorney. Do you know anything about the law? No, I don't. Tell you what, you could use an advocate. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit is our advocate. He's our comforter. Now, some of you are like, you're missing something here, Paul. You seem to have forgotten something. Yeah, Scripture. And some of you are like, I knew he was going to get there. He was going to talk about the Bible. Yes, God talks to us through Scripture. Now, I don't suggest that you just open it up and do that and put your finger in. How many of you have ever done that? I figured. See. Okay, here's the verse I just picked out. Amos 8:8. This is not planned. I guess this is nowhere in my notes. The earth will tremble for your deeds and everyone will mourn. Okay, that's an encouraging verse. Let's close that up. All right. But God wants to speak to you through his word. Study it. I'll tell you what, I've been studying the Bible since late 1976. I have never become bored with it. And I'll tell you something else, that when I was younger, I wanted to get stuff fresh from God. So I would pretty much only read Scripture. I read few other books. Now, I so enjoy reading books by people who are a lot smarter than me. And I'm serious. I like to read books by people who know more, who are going to give me different perspectives on the same passages of Scripture that I've read hundreds of times. But God speaks to us through Scripture. It's good for correction. It's good for encouragement. He speaks to us through Scripture. So I came across a little thing. You got the BI one there for us? Yeah. So what is Scripture? Basic instructions before leaving earth. You get it, right? Bible. You see that, right? All right. Just want to make sure you read down there. Basic instructions before leaving earth. We probably won't need this in heaven. I don't think there's going to be Bible studies in heaven. We just get to do Jesus studies in heaven. I don't know what it's going to be like. It's going to be awesome. But God has given us his word. He wants to speak to us. Let him speak to you. Do you know, I think we have a lot of modern Bible illiteracy that people don't know what Scripture says. I think there was a time where there was a certain basis of Scripture that most people in Western civilization, they had an idea about it. But I mean, now you'll hear that people will do surveys in Europe and they'll ask people what they think about Jesus. And they're like, Jesus? Is that some new cologne? What is that? I mean, people don't know. But we can stand as the exception. And I love what Paul says, is that we can be the epistle that somebody else reads. We can be the message of grace. They don't know what's in the Bible. But they'll get it from you. Finished this book this last week by Mark Stewart, who is the front man for Audio Adrenaline. Until I didn't know the whole story. I'd met him once at a youth pastor's convention because he was good friends with my friend Brooke. But he lost his voice. It's hard to be a rock and roll singer if you lose your voice. But he said he was called into a meeting in someone's living room with Bono from U2. And Bono was talking about AIDS in Africa and also about world poverty. And he talked to all these Christian singers, songwriters, and Mark didn't even mention the other guys in the room, but I can imagine they had even bigger names than his. But he said it finished with Bono picking up an old guitar, sitting down in front of the fireplace. And those of you that were raised Catholic will probably remember this song. And he sang, "They will know we are Christians by our love." That is exactly what Scripture says. That is how people are going to know who we are. That is how we become the living epistles for people where we work, at the health club, wherever we hang out, by loving people. So what role did Scripture have in Jesus' life? Now granted, it was the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, upon which the New Testament, New Covenant sprang out of. It is the roots from which it came. Let's take a look at a quote by Adam Hamilton. "Jesus not only read Scripture, he memorized it, prayed it, and lived it." Well, it's like, well, wait a minute, did he really have to memorize it? I think as a human being, I think he did. We know that he read it, he prayed it, and he certainly lived it. Do you remember, this is an old one, you remember RC Cola? I mean, I think it's still around. There's the old ad, "Me and my RC." Yeah, what's good enough for something and something's good enough for me and my RC. What's that? Moon pie. Okay, you can have a moon pie in your RC afterwards. So, but I remember that some Christian artist came out with, "What's good enough for Peter and Paul is good enough for me and my JC. What's good enough for Peter and Paul is good enough for me and my JC." If they needed the word, if Peter and Paul needed it, if Jesus needed it, we need Scripture. You know, I talked last week about a time and a place. Start with 5 minutes if it's not a regular pattern in your life. But just having a regular time of prayer. The week before, I talked about the 5 simple words of prayer. Thank you, and I love you. And when they come from the heart, you know it. You know when people are saying that genuinely to you, and they're powerful. So the message today is simply listen. Are you willing to listen to what God has to say? Now, I'll say this, that often when you want people to listen, and I'm trying to think who does this, but some people go, "Listen, listen, listen." And did somebody say shut up over there? Because that's what you want to say when people are like, "Listen." If you really want people to listen, you don't shout either. You whisper. If you whisper, like, I know somebody, they do this. As soon as they do that, you're like, what are they saying? What are they saying? Okay? If you want people to listen, whisper. When adults whisper, kids are always just like, right? They don't have to do that anymore. I was talking to some young parents recently, and they can be right there in front of the kids, and they're just texting back and forth. Time to put them to bed? 5 more minutes. Okay. Ice cream? No way. Okay. Just, you can communicate. Spelling words in front of kids, that's really effective too, for a couple years. We need to hear from God. Another area where we can hear deeply from God is meditation. And I know some of you are like, oh man, like, I mean, my first response is, if I fold in my legs, I can't cross my legs, I'd be in the ER if I crossed my legs, if I did the lotus position. I can't do that. But that's not really what meditation is. The truth of the matter is we all meditate. It's just a question of what we meditate on. If you are a worrier, what are you worrying about? That's, you just call it meditation. It comes from an old word that would be the same as ruminate. That's what cows do, because they have how many stomachs? A bunch. And so they, 4 stomachs? 4 stomachs, okay. So they'll swallow the food and then they bring it back up, and they chew on it some more. That's what they do. And they swallow it and bring it back up. They chew on it some more. They ruminate their food, okay? That's what we do with thoughts. We chew on something for a while. We kind of swallow. It's like, no, let's bring that back up again. What do you meditate on? Now, you don't meditate on, Om. That's nothing. You meditate on real stuff. Now, we can be intentional. So you can pause and just say, you know what? I'm going to unplug from all devices, everything, for 5 minutes, and I'm just going to focus on one verse of scripture. Here's the thing. Some people will say with meditation, clear your mind of everything and see what comes in. Do you do that with your house? Clean the whole house and open the door. Let's see what comes in. It doesn't make much sense. If I'm going to open my heart, my mind, my soul, I'm opening that to Jesus. Jesus only. And his word. Take one verse. Meditate on it. Let's take a look at Psalm chapter 1. Is that the next thing that I have for you back there? Yeah, how about that? I've been way off the notes here. Psalm 1:1. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. Now, I got to tell you this, because I used to be a mocker. I thought I was a smart mouth when I was a kid. And you know, you think like you know something. But, you know, just to be able to point out problems, anybody can do that. That's not hard. How about solutions? Oh, no, that's too hard. I'm just going to mock everybody. I'm going to make fun of everybody. Don't hang out with mockers. You can hang out with me now. You just couldn't hang out with me before. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. We got a choice what we think about. We've got a choice with all sorts of inputs. Be intentional. Man, I've been downloading so much old Christian music because I'm old and I like the old Christian music. But it's fun. I got it on my phone. I can be intentional about what I put in my ears. They're like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. This is not for people that go to Bible study. This is not for people that just read the Bible. It's for people who meditate on God's truth. There's a special blessing for people that meditate on God's truth. And you might say, well, I don't have a whole lot of time. You're meditating all the time anyway. It's just a question of what you're going to meditate on. I love what it says, though. This imagery is great. It says that they're like trees planted along the riverbank. So the Bible also says that we're like the grass of the field. It's here today, it's gone tomorrow. You know, in the middle of July, most grass, if you're not watering it all the time, it's a nice color of brown. It's nice and crunchy. Why? Because its roots go down about that far. But a tree, man, it's got roots that go way down. And if you're near a river, well, you got even more water that's going in there. So those trees, they're going to thrive. They're going to thrive. God wants you to thrive. And if you meditate on his word and on his truth, you will. So far, we have talked about prayer, but no speech. Just think about that. All these things, because, you know, I hear from some people just like, I don't know what to say. Try this. Say nothing. Just present yourself before God. Say, God, I know you live within me, Jesus, but I'm just going to take this time with you, and I'm going to be quiet for a while. And I'm just going to direct my thoughts to you. I'm going to read one verse of Scripture. You know, sometimes we get... If you start and you try to think you're going to read the whole Bible, it's a long book. And it can become intimidating. But I could suggest all sorts of shorter passages of Scripture to just meditate on. So let's get even more intentional now. So I want to tell you the story of Samuel. Samuel's parents, his mom was Hannah. She was barren. She wasn't having any kids. And it was more than a status symbol. I mean, that was everything to a woman in that culture, to have children. And so she went to the temple and she prayed. And Eli was the priest. And he sees Hannah coming there. And she's desperate, okay? And he thinks that she's drunk because he thinks she's babbling. And she's like, I am not drunk. But she wanted a son. And she made a deal with God. God, if you give me a son... If you give me a son, I'll dedicate him to your service. And that son was Samuel. Now, I don't know exactly what my mom's prayer was, but my mom, between 1952 and 1957, didn't have any children. But she had five pregnancies. And they all ended with miscarriages. And I know she made some kind of prayer to God. And she desperately wanted more children. And she got two more kids. And we were rascals as youngsters. But we're both preachers now. You go figure that one out. I don't know that she dedicated us to the Lord. I don't know what she prayed. But 60 years later, that's kind of a cool story. So Samuel, she weans him. She takes him to the temple. He lives at the temple. It's kind of crazy. But Samuel is a very interesting character. And let's just find out what happened when he was a little boy. Let's take a look at 1 Samuel. So the Lord had called out to Samuel twice in the middle of the night. And so he goes running to Eli, the priest. He's like, yes? And Eli figures it out the third time that, like, I wasn't calling him. The Lord must have been speaking to him. That's what was going on. So the Lord called the third time, and once more Samuel got up and went to Eli. Here I am. Did you call me? Then Eli realized that it was the Lord who was calling the boy. So he said to Samuel, go and lie down again. And if someone calls again, say, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. And God spoke to him. And God spoke to Samuel his whole life. And I think one of the reasons for that is because from a very early age, he learned to say, speak, Lord. Your servant's listening. Are you willing to do that today? Some of us would get kind of scared because we don't know what God's going to say. Right? You can't put the words in his mouth if he might say something you don't want to hear. But let's talk a little bit about Samuel. You know, the Bible has essentially nothing negative to say about Samuel. Nothing. Nothing negative to say about Samuel. Except his sons didn't serve him as he did. And they were involved in ministry and they were greedy. I think it's the wrong profession to be greedy in personally, but anyway. But it says that they didn't live up to his standard. It's the only negative thing it says about Samuel. The Old Testament doesn't pull punches with people. You got David, a man after God's own heart. And an adulterer and a murderer. Yeah. You got Moses. Well, he got pretty upset with the tablets. He broke them. And then he hit the rock twice with the stick. He wasn't supposed to do that. He was impatient. Oh, that's right. And he was a murderer as well. And then there's Noah. And for the most part, we don't know too much bad about Noah. But there was that one time that he got drunk and naked. And it says it right there in the Bible. You know, that's the one thing they didn't do on the flannel graph. You know, here's Noah. And then here are his clothes over here. You'd have the kids' attention if you did that story. How many of you remember flannel graphs? What a wonderful creation. Kids don't know what they're missing. I want to tell you something else about Samuel. He finished well. An observation I made a little while ago is that most of our heroes in the Old Testament, a lot of them didn't finish well. Joseph did pretty well. And actually, Israel did. I mean, Jacob, he improved. But there's just scores of people that really didn't. Or the end of their life, what should have been the golden years, weren't as good as they should have been. That was totally the case with David. But then you turn the page to the New Covenant. Man, I can just rattle off all the guys who finished their race well. All the women who finished their race well. And the Bible that doesn't pull any punches about showing weaknesses and things that people do wrong. Peter finished well. And we know he wasn't perfect. Paul finished well. Barnabas finished well. John Mark, the quitter. Oh, I think he finished well. Why? Because they encountered the grace of God. One of the reasons thousands of years ago, thousands and thousands of years ago, that Samuel finished well was because he learned at a young age to say, here I am, Lord. Speak to your servant. We would be wise to do the same. And we live in such a better setup than they had in the old covenant. Let's pray. Father, I know that with each passing year, it's a more important goal for me to finish well. You have blessed me in so many ways. I want to finish the race that you have for me. Lord, I pray that different men and women across this room would be saying the same thing to you. Lord, I want to finish well. And probably the simplest thing that we can do to finish well would be to say to you, here I am, Lord. Speak to your servant. I'm listening. If we would do that, we would finish well. Give us the ears to hear in an age where there's so much noise. Help us to hear your voice. Many times it's going to take us against the grain of culture. That's okay. Here I am, Lord. Speak. I pray it in Jesus' name.